All right, so we will now take verbal roll call. President Delmore,
Here.
Vice President Simon, Secretary Abrahamian,
Here.
Alder Vidivitar.
Here.
I am sorry, that was chop liver. Alder MGR,
Here.
Board Member McComber,
Here.
Board Member Callisto,
Here.
Board Member Wachinski.
Here.
Chair, the floor is yours.
First item is approval of the minutes from last month. He has a motion to approve.
I move.
Wait a second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. On public comment, Susan, do we have anyone registered for public comment?
There are no registrants.
Okay. If I could do a reminder, and Pete has put in front of you a copy of, I think, an email that you could have received regarding statement of entrance of anyone serving on a committee, and please do respond to that so that we can all proceed. So with that, I would also ask if there's any disclosures or recusals. Seeing none, I think we can proceed to new business. And the item is issuing water utility revenue refunding bonds of Series 2026. And I believe January we have a rep from Baker Tilly, as well as yourself.
I'm here now.
Okay. And if you'd like to come up, present.
Thank you and good afternoon. Hello.
I'm sorry, David, could you introduce yourself for the members that are not here? I don't think I've
Oh, yes. David Erdman. I'm a Managing Director of Baker Tilly Municipal Advisors here in Madison. Well, thanks for having me this afternoon. I myself am on a utilities committee in my hometown, down Highway 51, down in Stoughton. So the conversation about the Krumgatka and everything else in the region was pretty close. So I'll be having some lasso for Thanksgiving and lutefisk and lasso for Christmas. Don't judge me.
Yeah.
So, but what is in front of the city is the water utility issued some revenue bonds in 2016. And how municipal bonds are usually issued is they're issued for 20 years or longer, but the first 10 years you can't refinance. You have to wait to the 10th year to do a refinancing. So it's a little different than a mortgage. And you know, issued these bonds in 2016, 10 years is up, and starting on January 1 of 2026, outstanding bonds can be refinanced for debt service savings. The pages in front of us right now is just a summary of the bonds that are outstanding. You know, not big numbers. It adds up about $18 million. I believe there's about $124 million total debt outstanding at the water utility. But what this shows is it's color-coded. If you look closely, you can see some blue and some green shades. It basically says that all the bonds that are outstanding can be refinanced in today's market for some savings. Some of the savings will be 5% or greater. That just says that the savings amount is 5% or more than the refunded amount. So obviously some opportunity here, which we're going to set the city up to take advantage of. Nothing else really from this slide. If we want to go to the next slide, this just talks about some of the commentary that we have to watch as we move forward with the transaction. A lot of words here, but I think the biggest hurdle that's in front of the city and you know other communities in general is watching the Federal Reserve and FOMC meetings. The thought was they were going to reduce rates by 25 basis points in December. Now it sounds like they're not going to do that. And we'll talk about how we're going to build that into the calendar in a little bit. But basically, the municipal market's been pretty steady here recently, so we're not expecting any sort of big swings that would cause the rates to go up that would take the refunding opportunity off the table. You'll notice I did not show any sort of saving numbers in that first page because obviously, as the market moves, those saving numbers change. And we don't want to promise and then underperform with a bad market. But there's obviously 5% of $18 million. You can kind of do the math as to what the savings numbers are. So the next slide just gives a summary of where interest rates are. The dashed line is where interest rates are right now. These refunding bonds that we're going to issue basically mature between now and 2037. So it's 11 years out. So you'll see the dotted line is pretty low compared to where rates have been over the last 3 months, 6 months, and 1 year. Obviously, 3 months ago, rates were a little bit lower on the short term. 3 months ago, people were thinking that the Fed was going to reduce rates by another 25 basis points. What you're seeing now is probably some adjustments that that's not going to happen. One thing to keep in mind is that when you hear about the Fed reducing interest rates or cutting interest rates, that's on the short term. And obviously, these bonds are going to be issued until 2037. So while they may not reduce the rates in the short term, there's still a long-term benefit doing the transaction. In other words, we don't expect a Fed inaction in December to cause all the rates to change that would impact this refining transaction. The next slide just outlines the process. What has changed in 2026 compared to what the utility may have done in 2016 is in the past, there used to be two resolutions or two actions that would come forward to the Common Council, especially. We've changed that now, and basically the accepted practice in the states, United States and Wisconsin especially, is to come to governing bodies with a parameters resolution that says, okay, provided that we don't issue bonds more than this, provided we have debt service savings, provided that we don't pay more than this for a certain cost of issuance or so forth, we're going to authorize someone to go forward and carry out the bond issue and let them complete that without having to tie that to a date of a governing body meeting. So there is a parameters resolution that I think is in the packet. It's like 40 pages long. We are not going to go through that, but that's just a standard resolution that kind of outlines all the things that have to happen for us to issue these bonds. But the key thing is that you're authorizing the city finance director or the mayor to move forward and complete this financing, assuming that the parameters have been met. Some of the parameters are here. We're looking to do a competitive sale on December 16th. We'll have some call provisions. We'll have some bidding requirements. But the key thing is that the parameters set up the parameters. The finance director or the mayor will be the one that will actually carry forward the transaction. And then the last slide that I have in this package is just the timeline. We're having a rating meeting tomorrow. Just so you're aware, the sewer utility and the water utility received rating upgrades about a year ago in November of 2024, went from AA2 to AA1. The city of Madison is a AAA rated entity. So we'll be having a rating meeting with the rating agency tomorrow to kind of get them information as to what's happening. This parameters resolution is going to the finance committee meeting on December 1st. And then we're going to the Common Council for full authorization on December 9th with the idea that we post documents on December 10th. December 10th is when the federal FOMC meeting is going to occur. So we'll wait till that meeting happens, make sure there's no adverse reaction in the markets. If there's not, we'll go ahead, post the documents and move forward to have the sale on December 16th with a closing on July 7th and then refunding the bonds about a month after that. So I do not believe this is an action item. I think this is more just informational for you, but I'll defer to January if this requires any action by utility board, but just want to give you an update as to the refunding that's in front of you. The next opportunity for a refinancing will probably be in about 2 years. There's some 2018 bonds outstanding that will go through the same process. So any questions?
Eric Listo, Rio Remote, has a question.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, and thank you for the description there. Just curious, question based upon your last comments for information only. So is it accurate that the Water Utility Board had no vote on the original issuance of the bonds as well?
That would be my recollection, but that was before my time. So don't know exactly what happened in 2016.
Okay, but then maybe more broadly then, we don't generally vote on bond issuances at all?
Yeah, my understanding is that the authorization is the Finance Committee and the Common Council.
Okay. And one follow-up question, and this goes back to sort of my involvement with investor-owned utilities, but my memory is the commission used to approve IOU bonds over a certain amount. Do you know, is there any role of the commission in regulating municipal bonds outside of reviewing a rate case? And if you don't know... That's fine. I'm just curious.
Yeah, the Public Service Commission you're referencing?
Yes.
Yes. No, they don't get involved in approving the actual bond issues. I mean, they'll get involved, obviously, with any rate increases or any capital projects that might be involved, but they do not get involved approving bond issues at the local level.
Okay. Thank you.
And then going back to your first question, while you may not have an actual action item, I do recall like last year when the city received some safe drinking water loans from the state, we did build into the calendar to make sure that you're aware of that process too. So we do make sure the Water Utility Board is aware of what's going on from a financing perspective.
I was just going to say, in past years, I recall like a bid opening at 3 o'clock or 1 o'clock or something in the afternoon, and then all the paperwork got done. Then there were, we before on the council meeting day, mm-hmm. and then the water utility would
meet. We'd have to race downtown on December something, and then the finance committee, we'd all kind of just meet right at right before the council meeting, and then it would go, and we had that big, you know, they kind of fill in the blanks. But it sounded like some of that's changed, and it was pretty, I mean, I don't think it ever didn't get approved, but it was this, we don't have a December meeting, but enough of us had to race down to the city county building to make sure that we had quorum to do it.
True.
Yeah,
That's a
and
big
again, the
change.
parameters here is basically saying, yeah, go ahead and do the transaction. We're delegating someone else to do it. It gives the city flexibility. I started doing this in 2022, and the city was doing a large bond issue the Tuesday after Labor Day because that was the day of the Common Council meeting. You know, typically you don't sell but that amount of bonds on the first business day of a work week. I mean, it takes
But it
people.
was a council.
Yeah, so we had to sell it on a day because of the council meeting. By going this route, is we can pick a date that actually is better to sell $100 million of bonds rather than being forced to sell that on a council meeting day.
And the council will see this.
And Deb's recollection is correct. I remember being at those meetings as well.
I just
And
remember doing all the
I think, and again, this is from memory, I think we did approve or did vote to approve. And then the Finance Committee, as you mentioned, was
At the
present.
same time, at
Right.
a lot
Thank
of
you.
voting.
Says dated December 28th, 2016. So that sound about right?
I think I'd retired by then.
December
No,
28th.
I'm. Oh, I have a question. So the way that this is set up is if for whatever reason it is not beneficial to reissue the bonds, that is that the interest rate will not be lowered, and we just wouldn't.
Yeah, the parameters resolution is good for 4 months, end of May, 5 months. So if, you know, the Common Council approves this on December 9th, the market reacts on the 10th that, oh my goodness, rates have gone up. We'll just hold off on documents and then just wait for the market to come back to a spot where it makes sense and move forward at that time, provided again that we're within that time period that the parameters resolution sets up.
Just for clarification, you mentioned that there's a meeting tomorrow in which there's a possibility of changing the bond rating from or to double A1.
The utilities actually got rating upgrades last year from AA2 to AA1. So as part of issuing these bonds, we have to get affirmation of that rating. So we're having a meeting with the rating agencies tomorrow to give information to that. So with the city being a AAA, it's hard for a utility to actually be in that same level. So AA1 is a very good rating for a utility.
Other questions or comments? And are we comfortable with not taking any action on this? Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was
Okay.
set up as kind of a miscellaneous file, so it wasn't like the resolution, there's any resolution.
Yeah, I mean, you know, wearing my Stoughton Utilities hat, same thing there is that utilities approves the projects, the utilities approves the rate increases, so and their utilities approves the budget. So by those three being approved by utilities committee, that's where you kind of de facto have your approval process. Like the budget will include that you're going to issue bonds to finance projects. That's part of your budget.
Okay. So I guess with that, thank you for coming and presenting.
Yeah, thank you. Enjoy the rest of the night.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So we are on to the item related to our future calendar for next year. And I think Krishna created it with understanding that we had to avoid situations with the council meetings. If you had a chance to review it, is there any question on it?
Eric has a question.
Yeah, thanks again. So if as I read this, is it accurate that there's a number of changes here where we're going to be meeting after the city council? I mean, that's self-evident, but then is the result of that that as has happened in the past, we're going to be taking up things that the city council's already voted on?
Not necessarily. There could be something introduced at the council meeting that night before, and then we'd act on it it wouldn't be adopted by the council till their next meeting. But I know I used to have a concern with that
right.
We were kind of taking action after something was already adopted, which didn't make a lot of sense. But I think we've done a lot of these new Wednesday meetings now. So hopefully everything gets into the pipeline early enough that they're not adopting, taking action till their next council meeting.
Yeah,
that's my only concern, really. It's, subject to that, and I have no problems with the changes.
Okay. It's after one council meeting, but it's before the next one. So
yes.
it's all a cycle.
Right. We have a motion to approve the calendar.
I'll move.
Okay. And do we have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor? Aye.
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 No opposition, so it is approved. So now we go to the next item, which is presentation on Unit Well number 12. And Pete, you are the presenter?
Yes, okay, if I don't change seats.
Okay.
we've spent the last month or so going through some site approvals. November 5th, we were at Urban Design Commission for consideration of the building design. Last week on the 17th, we were before Plan Commission for kind of a threefold consideration, and that's a demolition permit for basically the existing well house and reservoir. Also, as part of that, as recommended by the Plan Commission staff, was a rezone request currently within the Conservancy District to go to a Parks and Recreation District. And then upon that rezoning, to seek a conditional use to operate a well house and reservoir there. So that's where we've been so far. We're before Water Board tonight. So I'll be doing a similar presentation. They moved ahead at those meetings with staff recommendations. I believe we're on consent agenda at UDC. And then there was a staff report for conditions to meet basically the approval of those three items. So I can begin just kind of with a project overview. I know we've done somewhat of a project overview, so maybe I'll go a bit faster with this presentation here. But again, our Unit Well 12, 801 South Whitney Way, slated for reconstruction beginning next year, although it's been a project about 10 years in the making now, with kind of the way the history of this one has evolved, and now includes a reservoir reconstruction as well. As I'd mentioned previously, we are under approval now by DNR for financing through their Safe Drinking Water Loan Program for both the reconstruction of the facility and the reservoir. Current estimates and the loan approval were about $4 million apiece for a total of about an $8 million budget. And let's see, I'll go, I guess, to the third slide, just showing it's admittedly a slightly dated zone map, but the important thing to show if you go to the next one, Susan, is so where Well 12 is situated is between two pressure zone boundaries. We did, when the project was sort of put on hold a number of years ago and where we're at now, we did do a site modification to allow the current facility to be a two-zone facility. However, we're really eager to not only upgrade the aging building, but kind of further enhance those two-zone capabilities, specifically between zones 7 and 8, the green zone and the yellow zone there. Of course, Well 12 is situated kind of right on that boundary, so it's a very beneficial location to kind of enhance that two-zone capability and bring the rest of the building further up to code. Next slide just shows, again, some more pictures of the current site. As it sits, lower left is the 150,000-gallon above ground water reservoir that will be getting demolished and replaced with a 1 million gallon reservoir of the same design style. The building you see there will be replaced with a slightly larger footprint. But as we kind of emphasized to UDC and Plan Commission, will be aesthetically built in the same style. And the positioning or the location of the building on the site is largely unchanged, and that's because of the almost 1,000 foot deep well hole that we are trying to protect and otherwise not substantially change in any way. So the building is really pivoted, or not quite in the center, but it's the design is centered around the well hole, you could say. And the next slide shows, you can just kind of see it. I don't know if we can zoom in, but in the lower, I guess, right corner of the square of the building, you can see where the well hole is actually called out. And that's kind of, again, what the basis of the entire site design is kind of laid out around. So there's the well hole, and that actually created an interesting setback condition. So one more stop we'll have to do following the council approval of everything we're talking about right now is in January, we have to go before the Zoning Board of Appeals to discuss the setback variance. And it's between that that side lot there, which is most close to the Beltline Bridge, but it's slightly outside of the setback requirements there. But there's like a six boxes we need to check to qualify for consideration. And we, I think, comfortably do, along the lines of we're not creating an impediment or an issue with our neighbor with the setback. There's a clear reason, a functional reason that we can't do it, another way, those sort of things. So we'll present that to the Zoning Board of Appeals in January. But otherwise, this is our general site design and layout. The most notable change, again, would be the repositioning of the reservoir. And you can see just between the two circles, it's substantially larger. It's about eight times the current volume, not eight times the footprint, but the volume is substantially greater, which we're excited about for added storage out there too. Next slide just shows some of the internals, how we fit that all within the same footprint. We've had some challenges. I'll just say, the current footprint, for example, our chemicals are all stored within the same room as the pump. So current code shows those two separated buildings with exterior doors will have chlorine and fluoride stored there and then dosed into the to the water as it gets distributed. We also got an isolated bathroom, but and we're adding a second high service booster pump in there as well, again, to add the functionality and redundancy and enhance that two zone capability that we were able to upgrade this facility to 3 or 4 years ago. So again, the deep well will stay where it is, but the piping will be reconfigured. It'll have a longer lay length, which is more appropriate for flows as we do pump the water both from the ground and out to the system. Next slide just shows some building elevations, some of the looks, and then I'll go kind of more quickly through the next slide. So the next slide then shows also just how we're either, attempting to replicate similar looks of the current building or in the case of the address block, outright reusing what's there. We did look into salvaging more of the existing brick for reuse here. It was determined ultimately it was pretty highly weathered, and also just kind of the overall cost of that kind of specialty work just proved prohibitive in this case, and ultimately Urban Design and Plan Commission agreed. Although we are working with Alder Tischler, whose district this is in, as for some creative ways that others may be interested in laying some claim or salvage to that stone before it's just rubbleized and removed. So there's still some things on the table there with some reuse, but overall it's going to be largely new materials, but with a similar aesthetic as to the current building. The next slide shows it's a pretty generic shot here of the reservoir, but again, similar shape, larger size. It's going to be that above ground kind of cylindrical with a domed roof, concrete poured. There's a number of reservoirs like that in our system. There are a number of contractors capable of building that. It's a very effective above ground vessel, and that will be the style we'll pursue here. Next slide just shows a upgraded landscaping plan. Again, as part of the overall site aesthetic, we had a landscape architect come in and kind of lay out some ways that plantings can kind of further you know, add to the aesthetic, or in some cases function as screening to certain parts of the site. Although the site itself is kind of naturally screened between the Beltline Bridge, the off ramp, the sound barrier wall on the other side. Water facilities, I do think, make good neighbors. We don't really have neighbors at this site, anyways. But the site is going to be looking quite nice, I think, when all the overall landscaping is done. A couple more pictures on the next few slides, just renderings as to about, you know, what we expect that to look like in pretty simplified rendering form. And then our schedule, that pointed out, I got a couple of years mistaken there. 2026 should be the DNR PSC approvals, as well as our bidding. Yeah, we sit here on the 24th, and tomorrow we'll be at council. So the timing is moving pretty nicely along, and I'm happy to kind of discuss or take other questions. I'll just add one other thing. We did have a public information meeting last week as well to discuss this further with folks. Alder Tischler was there, Alder Vitover attended as well, a number of staff, some great discussion from you know, interested residents too. But yeah, that's sort of where we sit right now.
Eric. Go ahead, yeah. Eric.
Thanks, and thanks, Pete, for the good presentation. So more of an observation than a question, but I do appreciate what looks like to me the extra effort to try and make the new construction similar to the old construction. Certainly beauty's in the eye of the beholder, but this is my neck of the woods in Madison. I found that generally one of the more attractive well buildings that we had. And so thank you for the time that went into that. Also, if Alderman Tischler is looking for assistance in helping to try and redistribute the stones out of the building, I'd be happy to help. Since I live in the area, I could probably do some local outreach to folks who may have an interest in taking them. So if there's no objection, if you could connect me with them to facilitate that.
I can definitely do that. He mentioned some connections through UW as well. You know, we typically have provisions before demolition that water utility can go and lay claim to anything in the building. And this would be some version of that. We'd just have to come up with the parameters and make sure they're safely and legally followed. But I see some opportunities there. So yeah, I'll put you guys in touch.
Thank you.
Can you talk about what sustainability measures have been incorporated into this building project?
I think the most notable sustainability measure is maintaining the well hole, certainly. Which we're very pleased to be doing again, as I think is pretty well known that some of our highest quality water, it's a high producing well. We were just talking about kind of the overall maintenance schedule. It's continued to produce very well, even as we've delayed some maintenance, some routine maintenance to that, knowing this project was coming. This has been very good. Some other additional things that we'll be doing. So the natural light on the it's actually not glass. It's going to be a glass-like substance. Will help with kind of the heating, kind of maintaining the building conditions inside. All of the pumps will be, you know, evaluated for peak efficiency, energy use. There's already a VFD element here, but they'll continue to be on a variable frequency drives to manage kind of best efficiency in operations. And then the added storage component, and I believe this is part of why it was ultimately approved under the Safe Drinking Water Loan Program, was we showed through some modeling that the added storage will allow much less frequent cycling of the pumps because of the size of the reservoir. Currently, for example, it drains fairly quickly, so we need to stop our high service pumps, refill the reservoir, start them again. We can do that more in a kind of isolated actions. Now we've got a much larger reservoir. When that is full, we can operate the pumps on less frequent cycles as well. So just a few benefits off the top of my head.
So at the public meeting, the question of heat pumps and solar, those were both raised. Are those feasible to integrate into the project?
You know, I do have a follow-up on the solar, actually. So, and I there might've been a misunderstanding with some of the conversations there, because I kept mentioning city facilities. I meant the division, City Engineering Facilities, who we coordinate with a lot of solar upgrades. And they actually, I went back and checked, and they actually quite conveniently have this site penciled in. I wasn't even sure if it was penciled in or identified as one, but they have it penciled in for solar improvements in 2028. We're done with the project at the end of 2027, which feathers perfectly into those upgrades. So we'll make some design considerations to make sure that that can easily be accommodated, but not part of the kind of full reconstruct project directly. So it remains in the city facilities division's kind of purview, and they work through, I think, federal grants to kind of roll out that program. So those two timelines actually line up really well. So I've been meaning to follow up with that person that asked the question last week too, and I'm glad you did here. There was somebody else too, right?
But, I don't know. I thought maybe, it was me. But okay. Anyway. But there was a question about the heat pumps as well. Using heat pumps as opposed to standard heating elements.
I have not looked as much at the heat pumps question at this point. I need some assistance with that. So at our next project team meeting, I think we'll discuss that a little bit more. But I don't have any more updates at this time.
Kurt? I just had two questions really for my education. The well, you said, is almost 1,000 feet deep. How does that compare to other wells? Is that particularly deeper than or similar? Or
I think generally they range from about 800 to maybe our deepest one is 1,200 feet or so. Okay. So, yeah.
And then my other question, just since this was built originally in 1957, and the belt line has evolved considerably since then around this.
I was there first.
That's right. So DOT, I'm sure that 50 years from now, that's going to be completely different, the belt line, or many more lanes wide or something. Is that all what about or is there just no fear because, like you said, we were there first and the state can come and say, hey, we want this. We need a truck lane or something.
The train station, right?
Yeah.
So if you look at, well before the bridge was there, that off-ramp was there.
Yeah, right.
We were there. I mean, that's why that off-ramp does that
goes around
shape around it.
Yeah.
If we were compelled to relocate or alter this well, I would expect significant reparations for that.
Right.
At this time, we're not intending to move that, and would be quite a conversation if it came to that later. Yeah.
Other questions? And is this an action item as well? I assume it is.
Presentation.
Well, it's a presentation, but we'd like action, I think, related to the three items that the plan commission was also recommending.
So with that, could we have a motion to approve?
I mean, I think the challenge is that it's not on our agenda. It's not set up as that. It is set up as a presentation.
Oh, okay.
So we can just kind of, we can accept, like we do the reports.
Okay.
They don't go to council or anything either, but we kind of just say we heard. But then we didn't do any
report, right?
Too, okay. So I don't think we need to vote on it. Secondly, the report.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Pete. Very good presentation.
Thanks.
Joe, we start our series of production reports.
Good evening, everybody. So we have here, starting with attachment A. You're on B. So attachment A is our daily and cumulative water production report for the month of October. And the number that I kind of zero in on is that average daily production for the month of October was 25.7 million gallons per day. That was a marked drop from what we saw in September. So in September, which was our kind of our peak month this year, that was 27.5 million gallons. So we dropped just shy of, 8% from September to October. Looking at the green shaded areas, we have a regional surplus in each of the three regions. And you know, just to kind of put those in perspective, 1.5 million gallons is 50% of a well capacity. So that 4 million gallon surplus in region AB is the equivalent of about 2 wells. In region C, that's the equivalent of about 5 wells. And in region D, that's the equivalent of 1 well at 50% capacity, which is board policy, right? So just kind of putting that in perspective, looking at how much our daily production compared to our reliable daily capacity, using about a little over 60% of that reliable daily capacity. Looking over to our cumulative year-to-date production, at the end of October, we were at 7.8 billion gallons of water. If we project out to the end of the year, we're probably going to come in closer to the 2023 actuals versus the 2024 actuals. So probably be pretty close to that 9.2 for the end of the year. Our attachment B, then we get a little bit more granular here. Just again, the lowest line there for the entire system, year to date, we've pumped at 7.8 billion gallons, which is about, we're utilizing about 42% of our capacity that's available to us. Looking in each of the regions, region AB, we're tapping into just under 40%. And you'll note that of all those wells that are located within region AB, they're all below that 50% threshold, that goal or that guideline that we have, with the exception of well 9. And talked about this in the past, that well 9 was really working hard to make up for the loss of well 31, which had been out of service most of the early part of the year. And you can see that discrepancy. Next year, you'll see that that'll be pretty evenly split between well 9 and well 31. I'm jumping down to region D. Again, all three wells right around 50% or less. Again, like that distribution. Again, also recall that well 26 had been out of service for at least the first 6 months there. And so 16 and 28 were making up for that loss. Those numbers had been much higher than 50%, and they've now come back down to just above 50% or below. So looking really good there in region D. And then in region C, we have a few wells, including well 12, that are just slightly above their 50% capacity for the year. But those wells, 12, 14, 18, and 30, those are wells that run around the clock. And it's really hard for them to be efficient if we slow them down much more than they're already operating. So we try to make decisions that get us at that, not to exceed that 50% threshold, but operationally that can be a bit of a challenge if we're looking at efficiencies. So that's our attachment B. Looking at attachment C, we did have two units that were out of service either for repairs or upgrades. The first one is well 13, which was taken offline in September for routine work. Every 10 years, we basically pull the pump, do an examination of all the equipment that's in the borehole. We televise the borehole, and then we make any repairs and then put that back in. The pump was put back in the hole, and actually just today, the motor was installed and tested, and that should be back in service by, if not this week, certainly next week. I wouldn't count on this week just because of the holiday. And it's also that it's hunting season and Thanksgiving, which means we have a lot of people that aren't here. So it was great that we got the motor installed today, but not sure that we're going to be able to go through all of our steps to get it back in line by Wednesday. And then well 19, I'm sure Pete will give an update. This has been offline for the capital improvements, the addition of the filter. That's been working on for over a year. That was taken offline a year ago, October. We do expect that to come back into service probably next week, hopefully next week, but not in the capacity of having the well operating and the filters operating. That likely is going to be delayed until January because we're waiting on some chemical feed equipment that kind of is necessary for all those steps. So it's one piece of equipment that's
that's really slowing us down on that. But we hope to have the station at least being able to fill the reservoir from the system and then have that storage available for supply and fire protection, and then being able to operate the boosters to push that water back. So that's where we're at with that. And, you know, the next time we convene, there'll be a different set of lists, or maybe there won't be anything on this list. I'd be hopeful that there's nothing on this list. So that's my report.
Okay. Questions?
I think I have a really ignorant question.
Oh my gosh, no.
For well 19. So it's pumped, it's put in the reservoir, then it goes through the filters before it's released.
No, that's not right. No, it goes.
And then it goes through the filters and then it's put through the reservoir.
Right. Comes out of the ground, goes through the filters, goes to the reservoir.
Okay.
Then it's stored there and then pushed out into the system.
And so the filters are ready. So you can do that part now.
Not really, because the piece that's missing. Do you want to jump in?
I was just going to add that the filling that Joe is actually talking about is from the system, separate, actually, because we can fill the reservoir from elsewhere than the facility as well once the reservoir is ready to go. So that's a component we're also looking to get back online. So the filters, we're waiting for kind of a final sign-off from the vendor, which also involves waiting for a piece of equipment that he was referencing, which we're hoping to have in December. Did I make it more confusing for you?
Reservoir getting filled. That's what I don't understand.
You open a valve. So normally you would operate a pump and push it out into the system.
Yeah.
So you pressurize the water and push it. The pressure of the system itself can push in the opposite direction. So you open a valve, and because you open that valve, it pushes the water back into that tank. Many of our tanks, quote, float on the system, and we're essentially allowing this to float on the system, and the system pressure will push the water into the tank.
I'll ask you later. I'm still not getting it. I'll ask you later.
So yeah, but the piece of equipment that's missing right now, this is a separate thing, but I just want to be clear, is that we could technically operate the filters. We just can't backwash them.
Uh-huh.
And if you can't backwash them, they plug up, and they're so we could operate it for 21 hours, and then we'd have to shut it off and wait till we have the replacement part.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're at. Pete, I don't know.
But otherwise, functionality separate of the filters. We're excited to be getting back online pretty quickly here. So,
okay. Other questions? Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
January financial report.
It's like, I honestly didn't know that either. So
I'm going to need a drawing.
My pen ready here.
Great. So here you'll see our up-to-date year-to-date October 31st financials. So for operating funds, you know, we budget 53 or 54 million. And as of October 31st, we're at 44.5. I am projecting that by the time the year ends, which of course we won't have a meeting in December, but I'm anticipating that we'll probably end up around 53.4 million. So, you know, we're going to probably exceed our interest income. That's running pretty good. And then on top of it, our other revenues is also trending well. So that will help with our total revenues. With our expenditures, we budget 50.5 million. We're at 37.4. I anticipate after we pay our pilots and our interest and principals and our operating expenses, we'll be at 46.2. So that leaves us a net operating of about 7.2 for the end of the year. As of right now, we're at 7.1 million. So with our anticipated transfer for tank code and catastrophic reserve, we're looking at an ending fund balance for 2025 at 11.3 million. As of October, we're at 18.6. So there is some dwindling down, but you can see that it is mainly to kind of ensure we have enough reserves for our operating expenditures for the operating fund. With that construction fund, we had budget 12 million. We're already at 12.5 million of revenue. which consists of expense depreciation and then just transfer from our reserves along with safe drinking water loan. I anticipate we'll end the year at $15.4 million. For actual expenditures and encumbrances for capital, we are at $21 million right now. Some more expenditures coming in, we'll probably end at 22.9 or 23 million. So our ending fund balance for construction then will be about 2.5 that I'm projecting. As of right now, it's 1.6. With that, going to our actual cash reserves and long-term debt. Our total cash and investment as of October 31st is about 70 million, of which 18.6 million is unrestricted. That leaves us with about 4.9, almost 5 months of expenditures covered by our operating reserve. And I did update our total debt outstanding. So as of the end of 2025, we'll be at 167.3 million compared to like 184 from last year. And as usual, if you wanted any updates on the MATCAP information, it is on our memo too. If there's any questions, I've answered.
So what is the plan to get us to the goal of the 6 month reserve?
Well, I mean, that is what we're working towards, but we don't actually have any like actual steps in place to get us there. It's more of making sure that I'm looking and reviewing, ensuring that we're spending what we've budgeted, we're not overspending, revenues are trending the way we expect it to be, so that we, you know, if we can cut any savings on, you know, expenditure wise, that would help, you know, actually get us closer to that 6 months reserve. But sometimes with revenue not tracking the way it is, you know, that would also affect being able to have.
And the 5.16 is the highest ever that I've experienced on the board. Actually, we're struggling to get to 3 months. So this is obviously a move in the direction. Other questions for January? Thank you. On to Pete, capital project.
So I'll be going through kind of picking up on some of the finances or expenditures through the month of October, where we sit with our expense depreciation as we near the end of the year here. Some more discussion and updates on facilities 19 and 12. So a little concise this month, but good information all the same. So as pointed out, I guess our actual expenditures and encumbrances are just about, if you go to the next slide, about 21 million at this point. Our October actuals, so I think a lot of it went towards pipeline. We're catching up on some of the completed projects. And as I mentioned, I think some of our construction, well, some is still ongoing, but as it becomes a little more year-round, we're seeing some later and later completion dates and payments being made there. So about $2 million paid out for our pipeline work, and then ongoing payments as I think there's still some payments for well 15 in there, and as well 19 also begins to ramp down. Those amounts will get smaller and smaller and smaller until we close those contracts. There's some other probably miscellaneous facilities charges in there as well, but those two, 15 and 19, are the bulk of that figure as well right now. For expense depreciation, as I mentioned, we're seeing some rollover from 2024. I think that this will begin to normalize more regularly. It's just a function of projects being delayed, possibly encumbered, possibly not in a given assigned year. But you know, as you can see, we've encumbered more than our target at this point because of some of that carryover. So I think it'll average out if you look at last year's figures, and then next year, depending on our kind of final rate case decisions, that that expense depreciation target could very well double as well. And there will be a period of kind of normalizing as projects roll over to that larger goal as well. But We're replacing a lot of pipe. It's been a busy year, and I think overall the takeaway here is we're on schedule and we're hitting our targets with pipe renewal. I can confidently say. So well 19, we talked about that a bit. A lot of the exterior work is largely finished, barring punch list inspections. Landscaping will, be inspected again in the spring at this point with some of the plantings, but assuming everything takes, a lot of that work has been completed as well. And as it gets colder, it's good timing that the focus of the work kind of shifts more to some of the interior items, including, we talked about some of the kind of filter startup additional testing. There's some interior structural beam remediation we discovered. We asked the contractor to touch up before they put on the final spray foam, ceiling insulation, a lot of surface finishing, floor polish painting as well, and some electrical coordination. Bathroom build out's one other item on there, but yeah, ultimately, one of the things we're eyeing, as was discussed in Joe's report, is at a minimum a partial functionality in December, and then with some final coordination of the chlorine pump for the filters that we're waiting on, and then an additional inspection and sign off from the ATEC, which is the filter manufacturer representatives, will be able to go fully online with complete facility usage within the next couple of months. So looking forward to that. Well 12, we talked about the land use approvals that we're seeking, which will hopefully be approved tomorrow night for the rezoning, site layout, demolition. PSC, we're actually awaiting for them to open the can't remember if it's called like an investigation, open the docket basically for review. They had some follow-up questions to our application that we'll have to respond to first before they do that. We're confident that should be taken care of pretty quickly, and then it's a several month process before they issue the certificate of authority to construct, but the intention is to have that in hand before of course actual construction. At the time I put this together, the public information meeting hadn't yet happened, but we had that on the 20th. I thought it went well. Others may have other opinions who were there, but I thought it was good information. So I'm curious to hear other feedback. But for public information's meetings, I believe I recall it was we had about 12 people attend the last one 9 or so years ago, and I think we had about 12 people attend this one who weren't staff consultants or public officials. So, yeah, I thought it was a good meeting though, and an engaged group, some good questions, and I think overall general project support, which is of course what we aim for. So, just looking ahead, continuing the kind of final design particulars spec reviews. We've got some third party utility relocation coordination we'll be needing to do, and then the closure of the safe drinking water loan, which will come I think later next year by and large. So. Moving along, happy to take questions on anything here or others.
Questions? Okay, thank you. And then we're on to the operations report, and Dan isn't here, but maybe
I
Peyton.
can sure talk through some of the numbers here quickly. I guess my eye always goes straight to the kind of leak counts. It looks like October, relative to the other averages, was pretty light. We've been hovering at or a bit under 300 repairs per year. And as I look at the combination of main and service leaks, we'll probably be up near that number as it gets colder. And I was seeing, I think it's gonna be around 30 degrees by Thanksgiving. We'll probably be seeing some more leak repairs literally springing up in kind over the next month to bring us closer to that 300 number before the end of the year. And of course, our system's not getting any smaller. We're up to 926 miles as reported out here. I think Dan promised to have kind of the final footage of our cast in place pipe program there. So you can see that just shy of 10,000 feet. And we expect that to be
kind of the minimum going forward. I'll just add again, as we are potentially going to be doubling our pipe rehabilitation budget, the reason it was as large as it was this year was because I was talking about projects getting delayed and rolling forward. So Flom Road was a large one we had pegged for this year, which was quite a stretch of pipeline. For a lot of very good reasons, city engineering elected to delay that in favor of more planning and coordination. We wanted to fill that void, though. We didn't want to just do nothing with the kind of expense depreciation obligations. And pipelining is a really good, versatile operation that we can use to add more work. And we did. So we basically doubled our pipelining budget this year. And then next year, maybe we'll have more if another project gets rolled over again, but the baseline will be about that much pipe for the next few years if all projects stay on schedule. And of course, they rarely do. So that could be even more come next year is I guess what I'll add. And then if there are any questions about the hydrants, valves, other items above that, I can see what I can do too.
Any questions? Okay, seeing none. Thank you. Marcus, public information report.
Here now, this time of year, where it's so dark outside. It's like, what's happening? Yeah, and I did also want to say, since it's our last meeting of the year, I really just wanted to emphasize, you know, how great of a year it's been. It's been a really good year for the utility, I think, for the city, for our staff. We've accomplished a lot. And I do want to say what I love about working here at the utility is, you know, things get more exciting as you go on. I actually started here in 2021 and things just keep ramping up in cooler projects, you know, more capital projects, different things, different initiatives, and really just the evolution that you kind of see in that half decade. I've been in other, jobs where things get more mundane as you go. You kind of, you know, you get to a point where you're like, things are just kind of the same every day, and that's never the case here. So I really do appreciate it. And that's something that I kind of wanted to reflect on for 2025. I think it's been a great year. Yeah, and as Pete even mentioned, like the, you know, doubling the water main rehabilitation with, you know, potentially getting that $10 million in expense depreciation, of course, the safe drinking water loan. So these kind of things that are allowing us to do more and more exciting projects and really reinvesting in our infrastructure and our system is really cool. And I've kind of seen that since 2021, when I got here, I don't think we had ever got a safe drinking water loan. I don't think we even knew what expense depreciation really was. Like these kind of things that were allowing us to get additional funding and really pull us out of that hole while still kind of reinvesting has been really cool to see. Something I was just thinking about when you guys all mentioned the John Nolan Drive project is I actually worked on that project. I was a planner working on that project in 2020 and 2021. Actually, Joe Grandy interviewed me, and that was one of my things that I talked about in my interview. It was like, hey, you know, I feel like I can get this job because I've been working on John Nolan Drive. And that was 5 years ago. And they just started and they said 2 or 3 more years. So, I mean, that's an 8-year project. And what I love about stuff that we've kind of been talking about this meeting is that typically our projects take 1 or 2 years and you kind of get something, you see it from start to finish. And that's been really satisfying being here at the utility and just the knowledge base and the abilities of everyone that works here. So that's been really cool. And that's kind of my reflection that I'm looking at with this year. And that's kind of my segue into some of the stuff up here as far as public communications. So if you look at our social media posts, Jody's done an outstanding job with that. You know, there's, if you look at the 206 social media posts in, I'd say like the 330 days or whatever it may be, I mean, that's more than one social, that's a social media post at least every other day. So really keeping, the residents, our customers, our community engaged every other day, you're at least hearing from us, seeing something from us, something's going on, some staff interview, some project update, something like that. So really just keeping people engaged. That's been great, over 200 posts. So I'm really, really proud of that. As far as media mentions, similarly, we had 34 media mentions so far this year. I think that is the most I've seen in the last 5 years. Again, that speaks to all of the great kind of happenings and accomplishments for the utility, from the well 15, one of the first PFAS treatment systems, to some of the rehabilitation, the CIPP stuff, and the miles of pipeline we did this year. Obviously, just it goes on and on. And that is what you kind of see. That's why that number is kind of important here, is because you kind of see how much media attention we got. And I will say all of it was positive. There was not a single media story where it was like, they messed up on this or they did this. I mean, it's 34 positive media stories that happened just this year. And we're not even through the year yet. Again, similar to that, customer service calls 23,000. They do a great job with the five or six staff that they have over there to be able to be knowledgeable enough to speak to all these customers this year. Over 20,000 calls that you answered, and were able to help them to the point where the mayor wasn't, you know, looking at us like, hey, why couldn't you guys do this? And it never gets out there. It is usually we're able to handle everything in house. And I commend the customer service staff and the finance and billing staff for what they do. And that goes for the meter shop too. They've taken over 3,700 calls this year. As far as website views, again, just making sure information's out there as far as even the public meeting, things like that, the email lists and stuff, really just keeping people engaged. So we'll probably get up to almost 200,000 website views. So really just making sure that the information's accurate and up to date on the website, because as you can see, people do utilize the website more and more increasingly as people kind of get into their mobile devices and things like that. It's just a lot easier to get those updates as opposed to calling in even. And if you look at our news releases, same as, you know, what would go for the media mentions, really having six news releases. You know, we only do that when there's something really exciting, and to have six really exciting things happen this year alone is really cool. And a lot of departments in the city can't say that. A lot of, like I said, when I was in planning, kind of, we always talked about plans on the shelf, because you're doing something 5 years and then we don't know if this will ever pan out. So to see that six really exciting things really panned out, we got a lot of media attention. That's those numbers. I say that because those numbers really kind of show me that this has been a great year. If you go to our ongoing projects and initiatives, again, these are really just things that need to be communicated to the public and require public communication. So I'm not going to go too much into it, but you know, Pete did talk about Well 12, which is a really exciting project. And of course, that, you know, is something that, you know, we'll use the safe drinking water loan funding for, which is great and good timing for that. Of course, Well 19, that should be wrapping up, as Joe said, next week. Maybe they'll get back online. And then the water main rehabilitation at Todd Drive, like I said, that was almost 100 different houses that were on temporary water. I think it was like 88 or 90 houses on temporary water, a meandering kind of, you know, a couple mile long run for that. So that, I mean, that was really probably one of the longest I've seen since I've been here in the last 5 years. And I guess I kind of did want to talk about the Well 19. I'll kind of try to answer your question in a simple way, just because I'm not an engineer or a chemist or anything like that. I do have to speak to the public. How I think about it is that, like, if it's really, let's say we were in a car and we're like underwater, when you open up that door, that water's just going to rush in. So basically the valve is the door, and then water rushes in because it's higher pressure out there. If that makes sense. Is that, yeah. So that's,
I think, another good analogy, although I don't want to think of my car going underwater.
Yeah, no, I was going to say if we were like in here and then there was just a lot of water out there and it's kind of pressing up on the door, and if someone cracks that door, it's all going to rush in. So essentially we do that. And when you think about our system, it's kind of like a butterfly effect, or like a, you know, you kind of, if you do something over here, you lower the pressure here, it makes the pressure higher here. So even when there's a main break, if there's a main break over here, we can shut off two valves to make this higher pressure and make this almost, you know, no pressure, so we can actually work on that. So it's kind of the same thing. The system's all about pressure and gravity. So that's really just how it all works. So I hope that kind of helps you understand kind of with the Well 19, how you can use the system, because we have over 20,000 valves in our system throughout the 900 miles of pipeline. So if you want to do something, you can always go twist the valve over here, over there, and then that helps kind of water go to where we want it to go. So I hope that kind of helps. That's kind of how I explain it when we have our open houses and things like that at the wells. Other than that, the website accessibility initiative, still working on that. Our website is pretty much fully accessible. There's a few broken links, but I'm reading like a 95% accessibility score. It's kind of hard with some of our diagrams and things like that, where unfortunately, if you're visually impaired, it really is just hard to make like some of our plans and things accessible. And for a screen reader to read some of these kind of really dense kind of plans and things like that and other graphics that we might have on the website. So you can never get to 100, but you strive to and will continue to strive to. The Madison Arts Commission sanctioned mural at Well 24. So that is almost, that's in the works. Really, we're just working with Doran Viste, the city attorney, on getting a maintenance contract, but the artist has done a great job. She did send a progress photo and she's about like 75% done. We are looking at the second or third week of December for a like a reveal or a ribbon cutting ceremony. Of course, the fourth week of December is Christmas. My wife is also 35 and a half weeks pregnant. So I don't even know if I'll be here, but I'll definitely send an email and let everyone know when this is going on. So that'll be at Well 24, which is right on like Livingston and Dayton Street or like off of East Wash. So that'll be a really cool development. And should be happening pretty soon here. The PSC rate case stuff, again, that was something that you guys probably have heard a bunch about. So I'm not going to go too far into that. But of course, that kind of speaks to the expense depreciation, some of the other funding mechanisms and things like that. And then, of course, the safe drinking water loan announcement last week, I believe it was. So really cool stuff coming up with that. That will update our rates for that'll be sometime early next year. I would assume we would update our rates probably in March. The other five rates that are on the municipal services bill will usually also get updated in April or May. So March, April, May, we'll kind of update all the rates. Of course, that will not significantly raise the total municipal services bill, but it will make everyone's municipal services bill as a whole more expensive. And then, of course, they're just going to blame water for that entire thing. So the water rates are going up about $6.60 per month, but the municipal services bill, when engineering and streets and they all have their new rates, that might make the municipal services bill go up $20 to $25. So there will be some kind of, I'm sure I'll have to tussle with media to get them to really understand that this is one of six services, which the PSC kind of only worries about that one. And that's only $6 an increase per month. But these other ones are also increasing, and that is Common Council. So that's something that'll be coming up early next year. And then we have updated our installation applications and our website for plumbers and contractors just to make that easier. For some of our plumbers and contractors. So I've been working with our GIS and mapping specialists. And then, yeah, of course, the safe drinking water loan stuff. You may have read about that in the newspaper. And I did want to go over some community outreach stuff here. Jody's not here, but I'll go over this. And I did include December because we don't have a December board meeting, but there was a presentation on current PFAS treatment, accessing and addressing PFAS and drinking water in Madison, something that Jody did with a partnership, our partner group. In December, there's a middle school and high school group that'll have a field trip to Well 31, which is kind of our, we like to think it's like the most open well. It's kind of the easiest to get to, ample parking, things like that. So that's kind of like our show well is Well 31, which is also the newest well in the system, if I'm not mistaken. And then there will be Girl Scouts that also come to Well 31. So we got middle schoolers, high schoolers, Girl Scouts, which are probably elementary schoolers. And really, it's just all about education. Now that we're done with kind of the water wagon and being really outside in the community, this is all really where we turn to well tours, educational groups, things like that. So that's what to look forward to through the end of the year. Any questions, comments?
Questions?
Well, I just want to know when we're going to have a Well 19 open house, ribbon cutting kind of thing.
That one they kind of tell me, and then we'll plan it. But yeah, what do you think, Pete?
I mean, I'm fine if we wait till spring. Like, honestly,
spring for a couple of reasons. One, it's just nicer weather.
Yeah, yeah.
You can appreciate the landscaping. Hopefully,
yeah.
The recovery of the, the natural prairie around it. And then two, that'll give us a little bit more of kind of a firm commissioning time to make sure it's doing everything we want it to do for those few months. I think we'd be ready for a ribbon cutting, even though it's technically not the day we're pumping, but that's my lean. Nothing official at this point, but I see some knots, so maybe we'll angle for that.
Any questions?
So these community outreach events are things that are done by Jody or you?
She coordinates. Yeah, she does all the outreach. She coordinates that. I mean, I usually help out if she wants me to. Sometimes she doesn't want my help. So,
but I mean, so she's the speaker though, like on the first.
He is the speaker.
This isn't like you reported here, but Joel made the presentation.
And oh,
for
yeah.
The PFAS thing was Jody.
Yeah. Oh well, I mean, so
I was supposed to go. Yeah. I
oh.
Conflict the last
oh. Okay.
Minute.
Oh. Okay. So you would have, you would still be here because it is community outreach, whether Jody does it or Joe
yeah.
does it. That's all.
Yeah, someone will do
okay.
it.
Yeah, and, someone from water, not yeah. necessarily your unit or okay.
Definitely, and it is different. Like I mean, Joe, he does a lot of really technical stuff. So like, if he's meeting with like you know different governmental entities and agencies and things like that, he can really break down some of the stuff. When we're speaking to like middle schoolers, high schoolers, and like Girl Scouts, we really
yeah.
try to simplify it. And a lot of times, I'm the one because. I actually have all the design programs on my computer, so because we don't want, you know, spend extra money. And so I usually will be the one to like make the PowerPoint, and then I'll tell Jody, like, hey, you know, do whatever you want to do, change it up, modify it as you want. I also had some PFAS. We've had like previous presentations that we've kind of just, you know, we've modified as we've gone along the way, but she really has full control of this now, and she kind of puts her own spin on things. Especially when it comes to, because she has like a teaching background. So really when it comes to like the youth, she really handles all of that. That's great.
Other questions? Okay.
Will we get baby pictures?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. 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 I'm still
excited.
We will. You know, I'm just like thinking about getting through there, you know, getting, but yeah, of course I'll send some stuff.
Should be easy. Don't worry about
you're
it.
Looking.
No, I know. Yeah, exactly. And when I say me, I meant like us.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, no, but yeah, definitely. We'll definitely send some stuff out. I'm sure, and maybe even you know you'll meet. So yeah, having a girl, I have a almost 2-year-old son right now. So my son turns 2 next week, and then my daughter will be born. Supposed to be due on the 23rd. So
that's
exactly.
Exciting.
Part. Very exciting. Yeah.
Thank you, Marcus.
Yeah, thank you all.
Could we have a motion to approve the 4 reports that we've just heard?
I'll move.
Second. Okay. All in favor? Aye.
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 Objection? None. Okay. Before Robbie does the meeting evaluation, in preparation for January, Eric and Kurt contacted Krishna and myself basically about having some board education functions. And in the distant past, and Robbie and Deb may remember, occasionally we would have presentations, sometimes by outside presenters, sometimes by people in the water utility. I recall we had a presentation on board governance or policy governance upon pipelining processes. We had the water wagon brought to one of our meetings. We went outside. People that created it went through the process and how it's used and so forth. Also, we had everyone who's a new board member has the option of visiting a well site with one of the water utility employees and go over that as well. But in preparation for January, if you want to be thinking about some topics that you think would be worthy items for board education so that we could learn more about some things that are related to our function, we could we'll certainly entertain those and try to schedule during the course of the year. And I would ask Eric and Kurt, could you elaborate a bit more or offer any potential topics?
Yeah, just off the top, this is Eric, just off the top of my head. And I guess just take a step back. I was just thinking of ways to try and kind of bring us all to sort of another level of knowledge on all the things that staff knows sort of inherently, right? But that we just don't know, and are looking for things to make our jobs better. I mean, one of the things that jumps out at me is finance, which is in part my own ignorance of finance in general. So having you know, having something on finance on the balance sheet or another detail there, that would certainly be helpful. I would love to have a little more on the engineering elements of the operation. I'd certainly offer myself to give a presentation if there's any interest on the PSC and its processes there.
Good. And for me, as a new board member, I had to learn about PILOT. I had to learn what an enterprise fund was and a variety of other things. So we'll be soliciting ideas at that January meeting. So if you want to think about that, we will then move on it. So with that, unless others have some comments, we'll go to Robbie to do the meeting evaluation.
Right. All members actively participate in discussions and all members have opportunities to voice opinions and positions on agenda topics. I think we met that. Members come prepared to engage in discussion by reviewing materials provided prior to the meeting. I think that was met. Members engage in active listening and avoid interrupting other speakers. I think we met that. Members offer honest opinions and respect the viewpoints expressed by other members. Fully met. Members honor Water Utility Board procedures and policies outlined in the policy book. I meant that. Members represent the collective interests of current and future Madison residents. We fully meant that. We always do a good job of that. Members make decisions based on equity principles, considering the decision's impact on all residents. Decision-making process considers who benefits, who is burdened, who does not have a voice at the table, how can policymakers mitigate unintended consequences. And I think we meant that as well.
Okay, thank you. And thank you to Susan for filling in for Jody tonight and for bringing the treat, Susan.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey.
No.
Okay. So with that, adjourn. I guess we can entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you, everybody, for being here.
Thanks, folks.
See you next year. Right. You're going fast.
It's try. I don't know. It's still
okay.
Good.
Because I'm just